digitally uploaded.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Digitally Uploaded podcast. It is Matt here and Alan.
Hello.
Good to have you on board, as always, Alan. Let's jump straight into it. The podcast a lot because it is just such damn good music. So the news for the week, the big news I guess came yesterday with Sony announcing that it has shipped 40 million units worldwide of the PlayStation 4, not the Vita, unfortunately, making the PlayStation 4 its fastest selling console still of all time. Obviously 40 million's a big number, and it's good to see the console doing well. Not really surprising that it's doing well. It's got such a good variety of games, and with the likes of Uncharted just having released and being an exclusive, that's probably going to boost sales, keep the sales numbers at least going quite strong for a little while yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think Uncharted 4 did 2.7 million units in a week, which is pretty impressive, but honestly, that would surprise no one because it is Uncharted. It's a big enough game that would be a system seller, I feel, and it's good enough that there would be no sort of bad words around it. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I started off with a Wii U, then went to PS4, and I've not looked back. It's a lot of variety on the console. There's something for everyone, and I think that's where it sort of trumps over Microsoft and over Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, every week when you kind of go on and check out what new games have been released, you might not always see, you know, a blockbuster that you're interested in. But if you're remotely interested in kind of a broader variety of games than the latest Pew Pew shooter, the PlayStation 4 has all of that. And in great numbers, and it kind of just keeps growing. Like, I think I've got I don't know. I've got hundreds of downloads on the PlayStation 4 already. Can't even have to keep deleting stuff off my kind of 2 terabyte hard drive that's in there because, it's just there's just too much stuff to play. It's ridiculous. And the last couple of months have been especially ridiculous. I mean, I know only Uncharted 4 was obviously an exclusive, but there's Doom and Overwatch and all of these kind of high profile games that will help sell, I guess, sell things further.
I think they've also done really well with just generally marketing third-party games as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
They've
that was
really
the
made a huge push, which they didn't really have on the PS3, which I think is very, very clever because it's sort of associating a single brand with the PS4 without even really, I don't know, going through the struggle of making it,
Yeah,
which is.
absolutely. I mean, that was Microsoft's strength with the through the 360 was that it was, I guess, the console that, Activision was up there kind of talking about at E3s and all of that, and that's really shifted over to the PlayStation 4 this generation. Destiny was Sony made a big deal of Destiny, which Activision kind of reciprocated by making a big deal out of the PlayStation 4. So, yeah, it's definitely become the console, I guess, for third parties to play around with as well. And they do a lot of work with indies too, which is good. Like they do a lot of work to make indies able to release the games on the PlayStation 4, which none of those will sell billions of copies, but it's good for the variety of the console to have them there.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really, really important to note the shift in tone that Sony's had from the PS3, early PS3 era, whereas Microsoft went straight for this Summer Arcade thing, and now Sony's sort of coming back and doing it better than the Summer of Arcade ever really did, which is really impressive and quite great, honestly. I
Yeah,
mean,
absolutely.
on any day you can go onto the PSN and you'll find a new indie game, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Sony's going all the way down to like the very start out developers because they've provided development kit, commercial development kits to schools, to universities, to colleges, and they're actively encouraging student groups to develop games and then release them on PS4. So, that's great for the kids. It gives them a chance to get their first games out there to start their own IPs and all that kind of stuff. And it's good for Sony because again, it means more games. And it makes the PlayStation 4 kind of the default platform once those developers start to work on other stuff.
Yeah, it's building brand loyalty without even really sort of advertising at all, which is quite clever. Good on
Yep,
you,
that's
Sony. You're doing a good job.
exactly. Keep it up, Sony. We're very proud of you. In terms of game releases or game news, there is I Am Setsuna, which had its first gameplay trailer dropped this week. And I know that's a game that everybody who has a nostalgic love for JRPGs has been looking forward to. And I suspect, unlike the Mighty No. 9 trailer, this one would probably go down well with its chosen a fan or its target demographics. So have a look at it. It's only a 2 minute long trailer. It's on digitally downloaded.net if you want to, or you can find it on YouTube, I guess. But it's very traditional. It looks very traditional. It looks very hauntingly beautiful. The character art, the concept sketches look very much in the tradition of Yoshitaka Amano's Final Fantasy work. The top-down perspective on the world is very classical JRPG, and the setting's intriguing. It looks like a fairly chilly setting, to say the least. It's a snowy kind of world that we've seen so far. But very intrigued to see more about this one, and it's not that long away now.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks really, really interesting. As soon as I saw the trailer, I was just thinking, this looks like Chrono Trigger. And it looks like that one scene in Final Fantasy VI where Terra is standing with the two Empire soldiers on the cliff. And I was like, oh, okay, I can get around that. Be pleased for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm 99% sure that Square Enix has come out and said, like from the start, that this is very much a love letter to, classic JRPGs and, what people grew up playing when they were doing this, when they were making these games back then. And it kind of falls, I guess, in the same category as the Bravely Default game series as a result. And it's good to see Square Enix kind of, even as it's developing those, big blockbuster Final Fantasy games to try and, target the modern market, that it's also producing the games for the fans that have been around with it for a long time. Okay, so in other Square Enix news, it's also gone and released on iPhone this week, Romancing Saga 2, which is quite premium for iPhone. You're looking at $27, I think, Australian to buy it, which is not unusual for Square Enix games on iPhone. They do insist that their games have value, which I think is noble and good on them for doing that. And this one's worth a look for fans of the JRPG genre because it is the first time that Romancing Saga 2 has been localized outside of Japan. It's a classic game. It's well regarded back in its homeland. So it looks like Square Enix is using this to test the waters to see if that franchise, which has a lot of games that have not been translated outside of Japan, a testing ground to see if there's a demand for this kind of game series in the West. So fingers crossed it sells well because I've played it for about an hour and a bit now, and it's really good. It's very classical Square Enix JRPG. So yes, hopefully it does well. Welcome back. That was another track from Shantae. We're going to use a lot of music from Shantae today. Obviously the big release this week was Overwatch. It's one of those rare releases that seems to, at least from what I've seen on Twitter, to have a universal appeal. I've seen people who are staunch fans of the JRPG genre and have anime avatars and all of that rave on about it as much as the traditional first-person shooter fans. So it looks like Blizzard has managed to tap into something that really does have that kind of universal appeal, which is the holy grail for AAA game development, I guess. So I thought we'd have a quick chat about that since both Alan and I have been playing it. And I want to start by saying just how crap it is. Just joking. It's not. I think it's good. I have probably played a good dozen or more hours so far. Still not quite ready to start writing the review of it, but I think it's probably the best shooter that I've played in quite a while. That's for sure. I like that it is character based and that each character is distinctive in how they feel on the battlefield, which is For somebody who likes narrative like I do, that lets me kind of create stories or get attached to the characters anyway. So everybody kind of has their favorite characters. I'd have to say mine would be either D.Va, which is
Which is no
this.
surprise to anyone.
Yeah, probably not. It's this girl that has this bunny robot thing. And she's really tough. Like she jumps in the robot, she's got a mountain of health and just kind of sits there and blasts away at stuff. And then the robot gets destroyed and she becomes like this super fast character, which can duck in and out and has a pretty useful gun while the robot recharges. So yeah, I like D.Va. D.Va's good.
I think the really important thing with Overwatch is that they've created characters who are so interesting to so many people that you're bound to at least find one that you like. So it's sort of taking what they did with Team Fortress 2 back in the day with all the Meet the X videos and then bringing it up to 11 and then having 24 characters or whatever. And it's bloody smart. And it's not often that you come across a game that is just oozing personality like Overwatch is. And I think even just playing as a single character and hearing one of your characters on your team talking with your character being like, "Oi, I'll race you." It's just like a nice little touch. And I think Blizzard really understand how to create a world when all they really have is like a 10-minute multiplayer match to convey that.
Yeah, I mean, when I first stepped into it, I wasn't really expecting to enjoy it as much as I did, basically because I'm a single player guy through and through. And while I can accept a game would might have a multiplayer focus, I always prefer that there's some kind of story mode in there. I've always kind of appreciated that Call of Duty, for all of its focus on the multiplayer action, has always had at least a couple hour campaign to play through as well. So when Overwatch didn't have any of that, I was a little bit concerned that I wouldn't really find too much to enjoy about it. But like you say, I mean, those characters are just interesting enough in their own right that they don't really need a story mode to contextualize them. To me, it's more like, I guess, something like Smash Brothers, where it's got all these characters that have, you know, different special abilities, different skill sets, and then throwing them into an arena and just seeing how it all plays out. I think that's pretty fascinating stuff in itself.
Yeah, I think it's also important to note that Blizzard has stated that there is no sort of story that justifies the gameplay, and that it's really just like a Smash Bros-esque arena, because it's like taking your favorite heroes who are from Overwatch into this like arena, and playing with them like action figures, which is essentially what they are. I mean, they even made giant action figures and like put them in Paris, which is hilarious and great, and I love Blizzard for doing that sort of thing. It's been done so intelligently and with so much genuine care and interest that I think this is the pent up love of like, I think last game was 1998 or something when they made StarCraft 1. It's like almost 20 years of pent up love of making a new game that they've sort of had to let go now. And I think it's really, really paid off in the same way that Duke Nukem Forever did not pay off.
Yeah, I
So
mean, it's kind of it's nice that it's colorful. It's nice that it's not so serious. That the violence has a more cartoonish tinge to it. It's not bloody. It's not. It's more, I guess, accessible to a wider range of people because it doesn't have that kind of content, the adult content, I guess, in it. It's quite light-hearted and fun. So I like that. I guess the only thing that I would mention that I'm not entirely sold on as yet is the actual level design, which
Really?
works. It works for multiplayer levels, but it's just too arbitrary in that they are multiplayer levels. You know, that's a common complaint I have with pretty much every shooter out there. But when it comes to, I guess, multiplayer, I just like for it to have a little bit less of a staged feel about it, if that makes sense. It's just like as I'm playing, I'm just thinking, you know, everything about this level has just been designed around balance and to be balanced and to work, which obviously they have to do, otherwise people get pissed off with the levels. But when I was to think back to something like Facility from GoldenEye from way back when, that wasn't a particularly well balanced level, but it was the best level to play on because it was interesting in design. It wasn't mechanical, if that makes sense.
I get that, but I also feel like with a game like Overwatch, which they're aiming for this esport vibe, they can't really afford to do style over substance, I guess.
Yeah, and like I said, I do understand that that's why they've done it. It's a common complaint, like I said, I have about most multiplayer. It's the same issue I have with a lot of MOBAs as well. You know, that's just very artificial in the level design in order to maintain a balance. But as a result, that kind of comes at the expense of, you know, the characterization of the game. So yeah, nothing they could probably do to fix that. I'm not going to complain about it, criticize it on that basis. It's just a personal point of contention that I have with Overwatch.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the shooting as well is one of the best sort of shooters that I've played in a very, very long time. I don't know if you've played that many sort of team-based shooters, but they've always had this very sort of punchy feel to them, and I feel like Overwatch has got that exactly down to a T, which is very impressive. Something like Brink, which was an attempt to do a similar sort of thing, but just didn't work out. You can see that there's just a lot of mechanical difference there and a lot of feel difference, which is very important when you're making a game that's trying to go for this sort of, I don't know, this tone. And yeah, it's genuinely fun to shoot all of the guns. Even if the guns have like a little bit of a cool down thing on them, like Torbjorn's little pistol thing, it's still really quite fun to shoot it because if you do lead the shot correctly, you do a ton of damage and it just feels good to get it. That and the hit sound as well. I really like the hit sound. This
Yeah,
is my best MOBA.
I kind of like the
I
way
love
that
it.
they've used the feel of the weapons to encourage you to play your characters in a certain way. So the really extreme example would be the healer character. I can't remember her name.
Mercy.
Yeah,
Mercy
Mercy, that's the
or
one. Yes.
yep.
Yeah, Mercy, Mercy. So she's got the healing gun, which, you know, is her point of being on the battlefield. So she runs around behind the other characters and either boosts the damage that they do or heals them. She has a secondary weapon, which is her only ability that can really hurt the enemy, which is this little pistol thing. And it actually feels like piss weak to shoot.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that's good. That's the point. Blizzard didn't want you to pull that gun out because they didn't want you to go around running around and trying to use Mercy as an attacking, aggressive character. So instead, what they've done is they've just, you know, made that weapon unpleasant to use, and then made sure that you the other one has a good impact on the battlefield. So, yeah, people who use Mercy aren't going to use that pistol because Blizzard designed the pistol in that way. But then
Yeah.
you take up a character like Reaper, who I do like a lot as well, and he's got these pistols, and these pistols feel really kind of cool to shoot, but they feel best to shoot after you've done his teleport ability to pop up behind the enemy and then kind of bang him in, you know, whack him from behind, and yeah, his guns. They don't feel like the, you know, they don't feel meaty like a shotgun, I guess, to use, or the rocket launcher or anything like that. But they feel cool. They feel stylish. So when you're playing stylish and you're teleporting around the battlefield and kind of popping up in unexpected places, you know, that kind of the gun suits the character.
I feel like all I really want at this point now is first person Devil May Cry. That's all I could ever ask for, which is essentially what Bulletstorm tried to be, but it's a bit meh. And I feel Overwatch is almost on its way there because there are some moments that you'll get where you'll do something ridiculous and somehow everything will fall into place and you just feel like an absolute god. And it gives a feeling of reward that you don't get with most other shooters. And then the play of the game system as well at the end, which admittedly sometimes does break a bit. It's generally pretty all right in choosing players of the game. And the voting system at the end where you vote on the best player out of the entire sort of game, which I think is really, really, really cool. Like really interesting sort of bringing a community together, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels good when you happen to be the one who's got the play of the game.
Yeah.
So it's certainly incentive. It's a clever way for Blizzard to incentivize people to play proper and not troll by, you know, encouraging good behavior by rewarding it with, you know, fame and glory and whatever within that the context of that match. So yeah, I haven't touched wood and all of that, but I haven't come across too many toxic players as yet, which is nice to see.
I came across one guy who was just angry because no one on the team wanted to play one of the characters he wanted or needed or something. And that was one dude. And that's pretty good for a game that's just launched.
Pretty good for a game that's just launched, and also pretty good for a game that's, you know, of aggressive nature, which, you know, any first-person shooter is. So, you know, aggressive games are going to encourage people to have aggressive reactions as they're playing, and it's kind of sweary and stuff in the chat. But yeah, I haven't encountered too much of that at all, which is really impressive. Hopefully it stays like that.
I think also something else to make a note of quickly is the PC version and the console version both are very good. The console version runs at a solid 60, which is really impressive given how it looks. And I feel like it's, if you don't have the option to play the game on PC, console is just as good. And if you're not used to PC controls, but you have a PS4 and you're much better with, you know, using the DualShock than a mouse and a keyboard, PS4 is just as good as PC, which is absolutely great. And I really, really do think that that's where Blizzard's sort of taken it up a notch compared to their other games, where they've made it accessible to not just a small, like, well, when I say small, I mean PC versus like a greater sort of console market. And Overwatch has done that very, very well, and it's very, very good. I'm just going to keep saying it's very, very good because that's all I really need to say about it.
So to finish off our podcast about Overwatch this week, I thought we could talk about our favorite characters. Obviously, I've already mentioned my favorite of all, which is the bunny character. D.Va, that's it. So, Alan, who's your favorite?
I've actually found myself really, really enjoying Zenyatta, who's a character who you really have to sort of build your team around, unfortunately. But he's absolutely wonderful. He's a support character that rarely feels like you're playing support because he has the ability to give like a healing orb to someone and you can just sort of leave it with them and it will keep healing them until they get to full health or if they die. And then you can also send out an orb on an enemy, which makes them, I think it's take double damage or something, which essentially means that you are a tank killer, but you're a support. And it's really, really fun to play as him and play around with that idea. And because you're so low health as well, you need to play smart, which makes him very, very sort of high mind game sort of character. And it's absolutely like ridiculously fun. But I also really, really, really do enjoy playing Reaper as well. Some of my sort of favorite little moments in the game have come from playing as Reaper, even though I'm gonna say his design is not my favorite. He's a bit too edgy teen lord. Which, what are you gonna do about that sort of thing? But whatever. I also think that everyone hates Bastion, but I like Bastion. Mostly because no one knows how to counter him, even though it's very, very easy because all you do is you spam rockets and every Bastion just will fall over at your feet. Speaking of that as well, pretty much Hanzo is really, really good. I think Hanzo and Genji are some of the more interesting characters in the game, even though their climbing mechanic doesn't really work most of the time. Which is it's a bit jank, unfortunately. There are just some moments where I'll just be running at a wall, holding space or whatever, and trying to climb up and just not getting anywhere. Which is a bit annoying, but it's part of the game, I guess. And yeah, again, it's one of those things where I can't like say this is my favorite hero because I like all of them. And even the ones that I've not really played yet, slash don't understand, I still want to say they're really cool. Because I don't know how to play Zarya at all, but I've seen what she can do, and that's crazy. And I feel like Blizzard have done a masterful job of making me love every single character equally. And because you've got a game that's built around switching characters to, pick and counter the other team, that's very, very good that they've done that. Because it means that I'm not going to be like having a tier list in front of me saying which character is, the best, full stop sort of thing. And it's all really about whatever's good for your situation. So yeah, it's very, very well done. And I like all the characters and they're all fun. Which is the most cop-out thing that I've ever said in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have probably about three or four characters that I like, and kind of stick with those. So there's D.Va, and I like Reaper as well. Reaper's pretty good fun. That teleport mechanic is especially on the capture. I mean, whenever there's a need to capture an area, it's great fun to have the opponents all kind of lined up, trying to take you out, and then you kind of disappear behind them, and then create some havoc for a bit. That's a good fun tactic. The arch guy's Hanzo, is it? Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's a good way. I think he's a pretty clever way of doing the whole sniper style character, because those arrows have really good range when you let them. But he still remains fairly fast and mobile and useful at close range, and then he's got that special ability that creates the dragon things, which can do a lot of damage, especially if all the enemies are kind of clustered together. So yeah, he's pretty useful. I like him a lot. And then I like the woman that has the rocket launcher.
Pharah.
Pharah, there we go.
Yes.
I like her because she flies,
Yeah, her flying mechanic's really, really cool. It's really
which
fun
is
to do as
really.
well.
It's really something I wouldn't have expected for the rocket launcher character. Yeah, I kind of would have thought that they'd be the fairly mobile, oh, sorry, immobile kind of, frontline, take lots of damage, dish lots of damage out kind of character. But instead, we've got a pretty highly mobile character with the rocket launchers, which I think is pretty neat.
Yeah, I think it's basically making the sort of high level TF2 play with rocket jumping more accessible to the greater masses, which I feel is a very, very smart thing to do because rocket jumping was only ever done competently by those who had sunk in a lot of time into Team Fortress 2. And what they've done with Pharah is just immediately take that and say, how can we make everyone have the same feeling? And they've
Yeah,
done
I
it
mean,
really well.
I never played Team Fortress 2, so I found Pharah to be quite accessible, one of the more accessible characters. So I guess given that I have less experience with the shooter genre, if it's accessible to me, that means there's probably one of the more accessible characters for everybody. Where I struggle is when I try and use characters like Angel, and
Angel?
quite Angel? No, the healer one.
Oh, Mercy.
Mercy. Mercy, Angel, same difference. Yeah, I struggle with the more complex characters when I've tried them out, because yeah, I don't quite get them. I haven't got the experience with the shooter genre, I guess, to do make the most of them.
I feel
And
like that'll
yeah.
come with time, though, because the game is so sort of young at this point. I feel within a week the meta's going to change, and there's going to be people like learning new ways to learn to use new characters and, doing amazing stuff with traces, dodges, and everything,
I
which
think
is
so. I mean,
very, very exciting.
even just in the last week when I started playing, when just when the servers went live and all that kind of stuff, like every match had that idiot with the turret.
Torbjorn or Bastion?
I don't know, one or the other. The one that creates the machine gun turret, and that can do a lot of damage to your team.
Yeah, that's probably Bastion.
Yeah, probably.
It's the same character that everyone keeps hating on since the beta.
Anyway, yeah, I saw him, like he was in every single match, and you're always coming up against these stupid turrets. And they'd always do quite a bit of damage before they finally got destroyed. But just, I mean, the last day or so when I've loaded it up, there's been matches where I haven't come across that turret at all. So I suspect people are working out how to deal with it. And yeah, as they do, like you say, the strategies that people will take into bat matches will change around a bit. So I think in terms of balance, I haven't noticed any character that's been outrageously overbalanced, to the point where if you don't have that character, you've got no hope of winning.
I feel like though they do need to make a couple of small changes to characters like Junkrat. Because he has way too much mobility, way too much health, and way too much damage, all combining together to create this absolute beast of a character who feels like the demo man from TF2 on steroids, and it's absolutely wonderful to play in. But I feel like every time I see him, I always panic a bit, which is good, I guess.
Well, I mean, when I'm playing, the one I always hate to come up against is the tank with the shield. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, I don't like coming up against him. I'm sure other people have no issue with dealing with him, but he irritates me, especially when I've gone and taken D.Va, and yeah, it's a fairly solid counter to D.Va to have him with his shield up. So, every player's going to have their different likes and dislikes in what they like coming up against. And that's part of the balancing act. I think obviously Blizzard's going to have to tweak things, especially as they start to add characters in, which is the plan. So as they add more characters in, they're going to have to tweak things. As the competitive scene really kind of establishes itself, we probably will see characters that have a slight advantage. And then Blizzard will need to kind of nix them a little bit. But I think especially for a new release, for a first time release, the balancing's really, really impressive.
It's the first Blizzard game to work on launch, and it's the considering the Diablo 3 fiasco back in 2011, I'm gonna say, with Era 53 or something. I feel like Blizzard have really taken it up a notch and actually made the game work, which is great. And I very much appreciate that because it's the first time ever that that's actually happened.
Oh yeah, I mean the servers are there's no issue with any of the technical side of things. Obviously, Diablo 3's issue was that it was just underprepared for how much demand it was going to get. So there was just too many people logging in at once, so it crashed everything. I think yeah, Blizzard obviously understood what it needed to do this time around better, and I haven't had a single technical issue with it, which is good. And I have to say the netcode works really, really well, even at night, which in Australia at peak hours, internet speeds drop to virtually nothing. Even at
Hooray.
night, yeah, even at night, you're able to play this thing without having, obvious lag issues and stuff, which is really rare for any game, let alone a shooter.
And I feel like just for the one little thing that I need to say as a someone who's played a lot of shooters, I'm not quite happy with the tick rate on the servers, but that's just me, and I'm sure that no one else cares. So it's all good.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know what a tick rate is.
It's basically just like input delay sort of thing. It makes it smoother if you have a higher tick rate for a server. It's
I mean,
literally just heavy if you're playing Counter-Strike.
as far as I'm concerned, as long as if I'm pointing the gun at an enemy and I'm shooting them, one, the enemy's still actually going to be there, and the lag hasn't meant that the enemy's moved off somewhere else, and two, that what happens, what I thought would happen actually happens. And I haven't noticed any instance where I feel like I've been hard done by the fact I'm in Australia. All right. So I think that's pretty much everything we have to say about Overwatch. In conclusion, we kind of liked it.
Just a bit.
Yeah, so pretty much everybody can probably enjoy this one. I know we have a lot of JRPG fans out there. Trust me, you can still enjoy this one. It's the game that
will, like Genji.
It's the game that will bring us all together, and we'll all sing Kumbaya and be a happy community. So yeah, we'll be back to talking about other things next week. But in the meantime, you can grab us on our social medias, and feel free to hit us up for a match or two of Overwatch. Thanks very much.
Gotcha.
Digitally uploaded.